For years, Insys Therapeutics funneled as much as $100,000 annually to doctors to prescribe the company's painkiller product. Now the opioid manufacturer is paying a price for that behavior. On Monday, Insys filed for bankruptcy protection just days after agreeing to a $225 million settlement over the corrupt marketing practices of their addictive painkiller Subsys. The settlement comes a little more than a month after a federal jury found John Kapoor, the company's founder, and four former Insys executives guilty of conspiring to fuel sales of the potentially lethal drug. Vox senior correspondent Herman Lopez has been following the wave of corporate prosecutions against opioid manufacturers that include Insys and others, and he joins us now. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Herman.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the drug Subsys is the center of this legal fight. Tell us about it. Why is it so powerful?
Yeah, so this is a drug that was originally intended for cancer patients going through pretty much the worst kinds of pain you can imagine. It's particular for breakthrough pain. So what that means is somebody who's already probably on painkillers for like standard chronic pain, like constant pain that they might have. This is like meant for to alleviate pain that breaks through beyond that. And it's really horrible. This is like meant to be like it's a super potent drug. I mean, I'm sure people have heard of fentanyl in the context of like illicit heroin and being laced with that and coming over over from China and other places around the world. But like this fentanyl is legal and was meant for these like really terrible situations where people are suffering from a lot of pain. And it was marketed by Insys for, frankly, just much more than that, even though its original purpose was exclusively for like these cancer patients.
And Herman, when you say it was marketed for much more than that, I mean, what exactly did the company do to help boost the sales of Subsys?
So there were a lot of efforts involved here, but the ones that have gotten the most attention are two. It's just its general marketing. Like it had a really cheesy, frankly terrible rap video where they essentially put out their drug and like sort of advertise it as this really new kind of sexy product out there. Just as if it was any other consumer good, but even though it's really highly potent medication. But the other thing too is just the speaker. This like speaker program that they set up where they would get doctors to go to these like sort of fake essentially speaking gigs or conferences. And really these turned out to be excuses to just pay for doctors' trips around the world. So if I'm a doctor and I get a nice quote unquote conference to the Bahamas, I get to spend some time in the Bahamas, even if there's not really an actual medical conference going on there. And this is kind of what Insys set up in just that. It paid lavishly for all these trips for these doctors. And in doing that, it apparently tried to convince them to prescribe their product. And by the accounts that we've seen, based on the federal investigation and whatnot, that seemed to work. And some doctors really did start prescribing more as a result of these payments.
Sounds like a tremendous ethical quandary there, Herman. Do you know how much Insys profited off of this scheme?
So we're definitely talking like the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not quite as much as like Purdue Pharma and how much it profited off OxyContin, for example. Insys kind of came in late in the game in terms of like this opioid epidemic with Subsys and its fentanyl product. But it made quite a bit of money out of the whole scheme. And that's why the federal fines that it faced were in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Now, of course, this is not the only litigation that Insys is facing. What other fights are they up against?
Sure. So, I mean, just like other opioid makers and distributors, it's been facing like lawsuits from basically every level of government. It's facing legal threats from private individuals as well. People who have suffered as a result of not just Insys, but the opioid epidemic in general, and governments who have borne these costs are trying to hold these opioid companies accountable, and Insys is definitely one of those targets for them.
And we mentioned that the Insys founder and four former executives were found guilty last month. There's also a $225 million settlement that Insys has agreed to pay. Herman, can you tell us a little bit about that settlement?
Sure. So it's mostly just federal fines. Most of it comes from essentially laws that try to against fraud, particularly against Medicare and Medicaid. The federal government is just looking at like it has leveled fines against some of these opioid companies in the past few years. And after seeing what Insys was doing, it took pretty harsh action. I mean, this is a relatively large fine, even compared to some of the other ones that opioid companies have faced.
They've now filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. What does that change for them going forward, for INSYS?
So the question is how much of their current legal debts they'll have to pay. They'll work that out in court. But the idea is to provide them some financial protection from all the legal threats that they are facing. And yeah, it's an open question, because one of the things is like whether more opioid companies are going to do this, and if they do, whether they will actually essentially be held accountable for what they've done in terms of the opioid epidemic.
I mean, if they file for bankruptcy, are they still able to continue to operate?
That's honestly still an open question. It really depends on how like all these filings and whatnot progress. Companies have come out of bankruptcy before, and some have come out of it and continued functioning to some extent, but we'll have to see.
Also, I mean, at this point, you know, you mentioned there's so many states suing Purdue Pharma for OxyContin. We have this one. The INSYS founder and executives were found guilty. At this point, are you expecting to see more criminal convictions for corporate giants like INSYS?
I personally am, yes. We know that there are these big lawsuits where people are trying to get, huge money settlements, particularly so the different levels of government can fund treatment with that money and fund all prevention programs as well. But I think at some point the federal government is going to keep looking at these cases and keep looking at these companies that are just getting in trouble time and time again in these lawsuits and think, okay, maybe we should do something bigger, because the opioid epidemic keeps going on, and it doesn't seem like all of these companies have truly stopped their marketing practices that help contribute to it.
And I'm wondering, Herman, we've just got about a minute left, but whether or not these legal challenges are going to be the beginning of the undoing of this industry.
Whether it's going to be the beginning of the undoing of the industry, I'm honestly not confident that that's going to be the case, because some of these companies are pretty big. I mean, even Purdue Pharma, it's turned into quite a huge company over time. And there's others like Johnson & Johnson, which are involved in far more things than just opioids. But I think the other problem is that some of these companies, just like tobacco companies in the 90s when they faced legal problems in the U.S., they might look to the rest of the world and try to market their products in third world countries. Especially as third world countries build up their healthcare systems, they're going to have people who need pain care, and these opioid distributors and manufacturers might take advantage of that by trying to get doctors to prescribe more opioids in these places.
Herman Lopez, a senior correspondent for Vox. Thank you so much, Herman.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.